Thank you, Brittany. We appreciate you sharing Holy Scripture with us, a great blessing in our walk with the Lord, and certainly strength and encouragement for us. So let's join our hearts in prayer this morning together. Holy Father, thank you that your ways are inscrutable. We thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to gather here at Chandon Church in your name to unpack and more greatly understand your holy word. Thank you that your scripture is a guiding light for us that illuminates our path and helps us to have fresh insights about who we are and who you want us to be and how it is that we can serve you. So we pray this morning, Lord, gathered in your house, that what will be shared here will be spiritual food that all of us can partake from. So bless both myself, Lord. I know that this is a message from you for your people. And may I, as the servant of these people, Lord, share it from my heart as you have prepared it, Lord, to be delivered and received. We pray and ask these things now in the mighty and precious name of Jesus, and all the people of God said, Amen. Well, all of us want to see and encounter more of the Lord. I think that's a given, but the question arises as to how. How is that possible? All of us have been in the position of longing for one thing that we are hoping for, but then reality sneaks up on us and bites us on the backside, and all those hopes, those things that we were longing for, well, they can become completely dashed or greatly watered down. And I feel like that has happened in our last two presidential elections. I have been filled, I'm only speaking for myself, my friends, okay? I have been filled with great longing and very hopeful, only seemingly to have those hopes vanish away. Now, candidates say, oh yes, I'm going to do this. And I'm going to do that, and I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do that. And on it goes for like a year and a half. We're inundated with promises, one after another. And then every 4 years, post-election day, thud. Nothing. And I feel so stupid. I do. And perhaps from your laughter and giggles this morning, perhaps you do too. All the wide-eyed promises give way to a reality, a less than satisfactory reality. For example, I was shocked this week to learn of the suicide death of 12-year-old Mallory Grossman on June the 14th. She committed suicide after receiving a barrage of bullying text messages on her cell phone. So now the parents are planning to sue the Rockaway Township School District in New Jersey for failing to stop the abuse, even though the parents had followed all of the protocols put in place by the school district. All of this was brought to their attention. The parents claim they followed the school's protocol, and school officials told the parents, we are going to investigate. We're going to look into this for you, Mom and Dad. And nothing. Aren't you tired of all the empty promises of people that say that they're going to do things, but then they don't? You see, politics, at least in that school district, it killed the kid. Now, regrettably, very regrettably, Mallory's death is not. I would love to be able to say to you today that it was a one-off, but it was not an isolated incident. With girls cyberbullying more girls rather than boys doing that with other boys, there's a propensity, there's a higher rate of girls cyberbullying other girls. So said a British mother by the name of Nicole Harveveld, whose 14-year-old daughter, Megan, committed suicide after being cyberbullied on Snapchat last February. And so the mother, Nicole, said these words to the newspapers after her daughter committed suicide. Teach your children to be humble and to be kind. Words can't be taken back, and words can kill. Well, after the death and resurrection of Jesus, you see, there was no social media to take to, but people were still talking about this. They were. The two walking to the village of Emmaus said to Jesus, although they didn't recognize it was Jesus, "Are you the only visitor in Jerusalem who doesn't know all the things that have been happening around here in this city over the past few days?" And then, with great discouragement over all that they hoped would be true but was not, they said these words, "But we were hoping that he was the one who was about to redeem Israel." Beside all this, it's about 3 days since all of these things happened here in Jerusalem. The power of this passage is simply found in this. He walks with us in our discouragement. Can I get an amen? Yes, he walks with us in our discouragement. I've had discouraging days. You've had discouraging days when our heads are held down. And Jesus comes alongside of us and walks with us. Oh, he walks with me and he talks with me and he lifts us up. But just like the woman taken in adultery or the Gadarene demoniac or the healing of the man at the pool of Bethesda, Jesus never leaves us where he finds us. Oh, happy day. Yeah, praise God. I am so happy that he didn't leave me like he found me. That's a good thing, absolutely. And the same is true for these two walking on the road to Emmaus with Jesus. So how does our Lord lift them up? How does he take their discouragement and turn it again into that blessed hopefulness that we all long for? How does he take the disappointments that the world knocks us down and abuses us with and turn them into experiences where the possibility of having a future again seems real? Indeed, the Christian faith is preeminent amongst all religions for its theology of hope. Yeah? As Martin Luther King Jr. once said, "We must accept finite disappointments." Yes, that we must do. But never lose infinite hope. According to Luke chapter 24, three salient life-changing things happened that I want to share with you this morning. So please pay attention. The first is, still with his identity veiled, Jesus taught Cleopas and his traveling companion all about the Messiah from the one source, and the one source only that the Messiah can be taught about from, and that is Holy Scripture. Holy Scripture. He said to them, "How unwise and slow you are to believe in your hearts all that the prophets have spoken. Didn't the Messiah have to suffer these things and enter into his glory?" Then, beginning with Moses and the prophets, he interpreted for them the things concerning who? Himself in all of the Scriptures. Please note how Jesus is critical of us when we don't believe Scripture, when we don't allow Scripture to bring us into a place of belief. He says, "How unwise and slow you are." If I could give it the Pastor Daniel interpretation, it would be, "Boy, you guys are really thick. You haven't got this. You're not quite on board." And so the Greek word for slow in verse 25 means taking time to be deliberate, having a consideration of all the facts. And we like to do that today, for sure. There was a church that I once pastored, And everywhere I went, it seemed like every meeting I sat in, every hall that I walked down, it was all about process. I heard the word process more in that church than I did the name of Jesus. It was all process. And I say, process is fine, but eventually you've got to get to a decision. Amen? Yeah. You've got to decide. Stop sitting on the fence. Stop beating around the bush. Then, beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted for them the things concerning himself found in Scripture. What does this mean? It means that you've got to join my Scripture memorization club. That's what it means, yeah? It means that once the Word of God makes a promise, that God is the guarantor of that promise and it will come true. Didn't Jesus say, this is the will of him who sent me, that I should lose, that I should, listen to these words, my friends, that I should lose none of those whom he has given me, but should raise them up on the last day. Have you been given to Jesus? If you have, he will raise you up on the last day. For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in him may have eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. I love that hymn. And I will raise him up on the last day. And so the first point is, stop deliberating the Scriptures. Believe the Scriptures. Secondly, Jesus agrees to stay with the two. He agrees to do that. They came near the village where they were going, and he gave them the impression that he was going farther. And they urged him, stay with us because it's almost evening and now the day is almost over. He walks with them in their disappointment, just as the day is almost over. But there's something quite important about how Jesus comes to stay with them. They have to ask him. They have to ask him. No, the Greek word is stronger than a mere ask. The Greek word, parabiatomai, means urge, constrain, entreat. I have a childhood friend that I just saw this summer. His name is Harvey. And he lived just the next street over from me. And he was a singlet growing up, like what Brittany is. And every time I would get together with Harvey, he would always say to me, please, please, please come sleep over. Come sleep over, please. And I would say, I don't know. He said, no, come. No, we're going to watch TV. We're going to watch movies. We're going to play games. We're going to do all this stuff. He was urging me. He was entreating me. He was compelling me to come. And I would always say, oh, well, yeah. You know, and interestingly, Harvey is still the same way today. Yes, I'll tell you what. Yeah, he's a very successful businessman, and I think it's a part of his DNA just to urge and to compel people into the deal, if you will. So when was the last time you said to Jesus, no, come on, Jesus, come on, come on, Jesus, I need you, Jesus. I need you here in this place. You've got to stay, Jesus. You've got to stay. But there's another insight that the Greek reveals, and it conveys to us that Jesus was really only pretending that he was going to carry on farther in his journey ahead. But what he really wanted to do was he wanted to stay. He wanted to stay. The text says they came near the village where they were going, and he gave the impression that he was going farther. But they urged him, stay with us. Did you know, church, that Jesus really wants to stay with you? He really does. The last part of Luke chapter 24 is perhaps the most revealing of all. For while the promises of Scripture are all important, and while he really wants to be asked to stay with us, the final hope-inducing experience is found right here. Right at the table. Right where the bread is broken and the cup is shared, right here. It was as he reclined at the table with them that he took the bread and he blessed it and he broke it and he gave it to them. And their eyes were opened and they recognized him. It's Jesus. Now there's two things for us to grapple with here. The first is that their eyes were opened. Yeah? I have had a lot of parishioners through the years, particularly the elderly, that have said to me, I can't drive at night, Pastor, because the vision isn't there. Yeah, they're not seeing, the eyes aren't open fully and clearly as they perhaps could be, yes. But and then perhaps another time when your eyes aren't fully open, if you will, is when you get up in the morning, right? Can I get an amen? Yeah, hopefully I'm not the only one. You know, I crawl to the bathroom and I look at my face in the mirror. I go, oh, no. Young people, this hasn't happened to you yet, but trust me, it will. You know, you'll eventually get to the mirror and you'll say, oh, you know, and your eyes are kind of blurry. And then I kind of stumble down in the kitchen, get breakfast going, and I kind of slowly wake up. So here's what the text means. To have one's eyes wide open is to open them by dividing or drawing asunder. Now, let me give you an example as to how this works. When I was just a preteen or in my early teenage years, I would go and visit with my grandmother who lived in Switzerland. She didn't speak a word of English at all. And being the young teenager that I was at the time, and what do teenagers like to do other than the guy teenagers, we all know what they like to do, eat all the time, right? You can't keep the refrigerator filled with enough food. They like to eat, yes? But all teenagers love to sleep, and that included me. So I'd be lying there in my bed on vacation. Now, my grandparents, they got up really early. My grandfather was up like 5 a.m., you know? And so they were up really early. And I don't know, at some point in the morning, my grandmother probably felt that I had slept enough. So she would come walking, no knocking on the door. I guess she's probably figured, this is my house, I'm going to do what I want, right? So she came walking into the door where I was sleeping. She would go over to the windows, you know, and I kind of had like one eye just like this on her. And she would grab a hold of the drapes and she would go, jetzt ist aufstehen. Now, if you don't know what that means, it means get your out of bed. It's time to get up. And I didn't like that too much. But that's what Luke is talking about here in terms of pulling the drapes open. Now you can see the sunlight. It's coming pouring into your room. Jesus draws back the curtain so that we can see him clearly. Now, some of us may need to have the curtain drawn back so that we can see him. Amen? Oh, yeah. But those two followers of Jesus, they recognize him. But the Greek word takes us deeper. The word epigenosko is the word, and it translates, I can know, discern, or recognize. But it means more than just having knowledge. Yes? It means having a knowledge of who Jesus is. Let me unpack this for you. It is, epigenosko is experiential knowledge. Well, what do you mean by that, Pastor? What I mean is you have people in your life that you know. You know this person, you know that person. But the people that you know relationally, that you are in a relationship with, you epigenosko them. You know them personally and intimately because of the experiences that you've had with them. Just like that experience that I had with Harvey growing up. I know him. We've shared times and seasons and experiences with one another. But here's where the meaning goes deeper. Epigenosko indicates that the level that we will experientially know or enjoy God in eternity will be matched or keyed to the level that we know him by in the here and now. Have you got that? How well do you know the Lord? Is he known to you as a stranger? Is he Does he get a distant wave from you every once in a while? Hey, Lord, how you doing? Good to see you today. Glad you're hanging out. Yeah, I'm hanging out, man. Yeah, it's all good, man. Okay, you know? Is it a casual buddy relationship? I mean, how well does he know you? And the extent to how well he knows you will depend upon just what the two did walking on the road to Emmaus. They invited Jesus to come. Come, stay with us, they urged. They constrained him. Eat with us. Stay with us. That's how well they knew him experientially. If he knows you lovingly and wholeheartedly, experientially, here. Here, remember, there's a correlation between how he knows you here and how well he will know you there. That's what the text tells us. So think of my message from two Sundays ago, Working Girl. Jesus said of the woman who anointed his feet with her hair, "I tell you the truth," it says in Mark's Gospel, chapter 14, "wherever the good news is preached in all of the world, what this woman has done to me will be told, and all people will remember it." What was it that people remember? They remember the experience of her tears and the perfume, the costly ointment that she opened and that she poured upon our Lord and wiped his feet with her hair. That's what people, they remember the experience. The things that you remember that are most valuable and important to you are your experiences in life. Trust me, I have forgotten half of my seminary education. Even though I did well, the things that I remember are the experiences of it. So what he'd like to do, no wonder he only pretended to go on his journey. Because he wants to walk with us. He wants to have that experience with us. What he'd really like to do is stay a while and get to know us deeply and personally and experientially. So, are your eyes bright with the light of the Lord? Are your eyes open? Can you see? Are you known? And do you even wish to be? Are you content with what little you have shown and shared with him? Or is there more of you? Is there more of you to show and to share with our Lord Jesus? That's what he wants. That's why he kind of like, well, I'm going this way, guys, but... And then they said, stay with us. Yeah. It's totally up to you whether he stays a while or whether he walks on. Amen. As we reflect on our message this morning, we share together in a time of our joys and concerns.
Good morning. I have a list of joys and concerns to share with you this morning. First, we can share our joy for Logan Bear, who is serving as our acolyte today. He turns age 9. So happy birthday, old man. Also, we have some concerns for the following. Margie Beckner spent the night at University Hospital at Westchester. Marlene Connect, Richard King, Carolyn Foster, and Pat Sawyer.
Thank you, Buzz. Let us go before the Lord in prayer. Father, we love our church family, and we thank you for this sacred place. And we pray, as you have asked us to do, Lord, to remember those that are in need, remembering the sick and the afflicted, remembering the hurt, the disappointed, and the downtrodden, but always praying, Lord, that hope might be restored, because hope is infinite and eternal. Our hope is placed in you today, Lord God, for our congregation, for its ever-deepening walk with you, for our place within the life of this community, for the active way in which we take seriously engaging others in mission, sharing the good news of Jesus Christ in thought, word, and deed, and for our nation and for our world. Gracious Heavenly Father, lead others to find you, and may we be your hands and your feet and your eyes, your ears, and your word spoken to encourage and to share the one true faith that you have committed in and entrusted to us, Lord, to share with those that need to hear. We pray and ask these things now in your precious name, and all the people of God said, Amen.